And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meads 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with David Ruskin and Mickey Brennan. A very hoarse Mickey Brennan, it has to be said. I was commentating on Saturday night in Cork and I got very excited. Then on the way home, I was listening to the Meath game, Davey, and I got very excited. I was roaring at the radio and I've left myself with no voice.
sounds like a good weekend, doesn't it?
But look, I suppose if Carlsberg did weekends, Meath won, Cavan won, and Man United got a victory as well. Like it's a clean sweep for me this weekend.
And Arsenal got a win as well.
Anyways, we'll move on about that. Yeah, you just had to
Standard stuff.
Yeah, standard stuff is right. Well, we've got plenty to get through on the podcast this week. So we're going to start with the big one in Park Tolchin on Sunday afternoon. There was a big game taking place in Ashburn at the same time. But we'll go to the Meath Louth game. Meath 1-11, Louth 1-9. A goal at the death for Louth, bringing a bit of respectability to the scoreline, I suppose. It should have been a little bit easier for Meath in the end. But it wasn't easy in the first half, Davey. I think Sean Brennan had to pull off a couple of great saves and stop Louth from breaching the Meath rear guard and getting a couple of majors themselves. And it could have been a different story come halftime, but Meath weathered it.
They did. Yeah, they probably rode their luck at times in the first half, and it was a blow par first half performance for Meath with the wind at their backs. You would have expected them to make a real impression, but they really didn't kick on like you'd have hoped. And Louth did carve out two great opportunities in 13th and 15th minute, but both of them were saved by Sean Brennan and we survived. And we got in at halftime 6 points to 5 down with an awful lot of work to do and it looked bleak. And even early in the second half, Louth stretched their lead to 4, Mickey, but Meath found a way. They got a goal in 6 without reply and that was the real big move that they needed to make in that second half to put themselves into a match-winning position, and they never looked back after that, despite it being a bit of an uncomfortable ending in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing is, Meath against the wind kept Louth scoreless for 30 minutes. They went from the 7th minute, I think, to the 37th minute before they got that goal to kind of give them a little bit of a glimmer of hope. I think that was just Meath being nice to the neighbours, letting them think that they were still in the game, but they saw it out in the end.
They did, yeah. The Louth fans were streaming towards the exits over on the terrace side, and some of them decided to come back for a little bit more after that goal went in right at the death. And there was 4 or 5 of the Louth backroom team / statisticians beside me as well, and that gave them some renewed hope. Not that they needed it, because they were quite vocal and very irritating throughout, I have to say. But all in all, it ended. It almost gave them the hope. You almost put it out in one hand and took it back in the other, like taking candy off a baby in many respects. And seeing the reaction, it probably made it all the more sweeter in the finish.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are going to milk this one, that is for sure. It's 12 years since Meath beat Louth in Park Tolchin. They've had the hoodoo over us for a while, so Meath are back, let's just say. And just on that, we've done, obviously, the match day diary for the Louth game. That has gone out, and thanks to all our contributors, the listeners to the podcast who contributed to it, and they were all in fine fettle after the final whistle, and that match day diary has gone out. We'll also have a review podcast of the Mead versus Loud game with interviews from Dara Campion, Shane Walsh and Colm O'Rourke after the game. Again, all ecstatic after the victory and bruised and battered as well, because it was a very physical encounter. So do look out for those podcasts. We'll also be doing a Club Cup Roundup podcast as well. Of course, the Club Cups flew in last Thursday evening. So, and again, they'll be going, that podcast will be going out early this week. And of course, the Club Cup competitions are back on this week. So there's no rest for the wicked on that one. And just one other podcast I want to remind you of that went out. It went out on here on SoundCloud and it went out on our Loyal Royals Patreon service as well. The Nafina story, of course, Davey met up with Rebecca O'Keefe and Sophia Payne to just document what happened between in 24 hours of madness, where they had to play two All-Ireland semi-finals in Camogie and football 300 kilometres apart. So there's a petition that Nafina girls have set up and they want that signed. And if anybody out there can sign it, go in and read it. Like, all it is a petition to say that this won't happen again. Like, there's no controversy in it. It's what we want. It's what everybody wants. But that's a really good listen as well, if you want to have a listen to see what happened in that space of 24 hours where they won one All-Ireland semi-final and lost the other due to the fact that there was just way too much pressure on that bunch of girls that played both codes for Nafina. A wonderful podcast. Davey, I think it's really important to get that message out there.
It is, and I suppose the disappointing thing or the thing that Nafina are pushing here is for this not to happen to another club in the future. The likelihood is this won't affect Nafina in any way, shape or form. What's done is done from their perspective, but it's had such a lasting effect or impression on them that they feel the need to be the trailblazers with this and try and to make a change and move to a one association model between the LGFA and the Camogie Association to just avoid any conflicts like this happening in the future. And they obviously document their story to the forefront of that. There's an open letter. Anybody can read it. You'll get a good gist of what's gone on. And you can just sign it. They've got some high profile signatures on that. I think all of the current Mead Camogie and the Mead ladies team have signed it. You've got other signatures like Oisin McConville, John Milan, Graham Geraghty, Mickey Burke, to name but a few. Mick Ryan, the former Watford and Westmead manager as well. So it's done the rounds, if you like, and they've got it. They've got plenty of traction with it, but they need more. They need to continue to highlight this, and there's only a couple of girls really, really pushing this hard, and it was brilliant to have the two girls on to chat through it and to understand where exactly they were coming from and the situation that they were placed in before Christmas.
Yeah, 100%. So do try and get a listen to that podcast, and if you can, maybe sign the petition as well. So well worth the listen, and more importantly, sign the petition. Davey, sticking with the ladies, we're going to go to the LGFA this time. Mead ladies were playing Armagh on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. same time as the men were playing in Partholchin. The ladies were playing in Ashburn against Armagh, and it was the visitors who took the spoils here. 2-12 to Armagh. Mead 8 points. Disappointing result for Mead. Puts them down to third in the table. But look, I suppose we can't knock them in any way, shape or form about this result. It is disappointing, though. It's a 10-point defeat for them.
Yeah, like, on the face of it, it is. It's a very disappointing result, and one that I don't think anybody would have seen coming, whether you were from the Armagh, Mead or any other persuasion, really. But then when you take a step back and you look at it from afar and you say 3 wins from your first 4 games with such a new-look panel and a new management in there, I think you'd have taken that all day long at the start of the campaign. So from that perspective, it's not as bad. Listen, the game itself, remarkably, there was only 2 points in the difference at halftime. Armagh led by 7 points to 5, but the brilliant Amy Mackin got a goal immediately after halftime, and that kind of was a significant score. Armagh never really looked back after that, and the second goal arrived from Kelly Mallon later on in the half. Incidentally, Mallon and Mackin shared 2-8 between them, 1-4 apiece, and they were the two thorns in Mead's side throughout the afternoon. Mead had the usual high performers from the likes of Emma Duggan and Niamh Gallogly and Aveen Cleary, who was obviously on home soil over in Dunmore-Ashburn, but it wasn't to be. Disappointed defeat against a pretty good Armagh side, it has to be said, and it is still early days, but they'll want to bounce back in a couple of weeks' time and try and reinvigorate their final push.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's still there for them, because Kerry drew with Mayo, and Kerry and Armagh face off against each other the next day out. So if Armagh were to beat Kerry, Meath were to get a victory the next day out against Galway, they would leapfrog Kerry into second place, and then it would mean that a draw against Kerry should be enough to see Meath through to a final if they were to win the other games, and Kerry were too. So they've got that as well. That final position is still there, and it's up for grabs, David.
And I think I'm not going to go down the road of it being bonus territory or that, but I don't think that would have been top of the expectations at the start of the campaign either. Do you know? I think first and foremost, it would have been probably building towards maybe a comfortable mid-table finish. So they're still in a really, really good position, as you say, Mickey. And it is still in their own hands. With let's hope they can bounce back and get the show back on the road in 2 weeks' time.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davy, the Meath Camogues, they were out in their opening round of the Alliance, of the Camogie League. I can't remember the name of the Camogie League, actually, so I can't say. The very Camogie League is right, yes. And they were playing the Neighbours. Once again, a Meath team playing against the noisy Neighbours. Cavan side that have raced up through the divisions since they got their Camogie Association back working only a few years ago, but the Camogues came away with a very convincing victory here, 113 to Cavan's 4 points, and I think the Meath Camogues would be happy with that result and getting their season off to a winning start.
Yeah, so a brilliant win for Neely Cole in his first outing as Meath manager against his former employers in Cavan. He obviously did, I think, a year with Cavan as Camogie manager there, so he'll be pretty pleased with that opening. And in truth, Mickey, the victory was secured at halftime. They led by a goal of 9-3 points and never really looked back after that. The goal arrived from Kira Foley, the Killine woman. She was a really good player for Meath last year, actually. She contributed a goal in 5 on Saturday for Meath over in Trim. And she was ably assisted by the likes of Amy Gaffney, who chipped in with, I think, 3 points on the day. There were scores for Grace Coleman, who was very impressive as well, as she is for the most part for Meath. And they were backbone by the experienced campaigners in the likes of Claire Coffey and, of course, Divine, and, you know, a few others in there. So, look, it's a really good, prosperous start for them. Control the second half well, and it's a building block. It's a game that we would have expected them to win, and they've done so with a minimum of fuss. But there are bigger tests lying in wait, notably Westmeath, obviously, next weekend, which will be a big step up in class for the girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Westmeath against Meath next weekend. It's a home game for Meath. It's the pitches to be confirmed, but I presume it'll be in Trim. It's on Saturday, the 24th. and the time and venue to be confirmed, but we're presuming that will be in Trim. So hopefully Neely and the girls can continue their winning ways in the very league. Yeah, really good win for Neely, and we wish them the very best of luck next week. And sticking with the Sticks, Davey, Meath are back out in action. The Meath Hurlers are back out in action next Sunday, the 25th of February, and it's at 1 p.m, but it's in Fitzgerald Stadium. Meath having to travel all the way down to Kerry once again for this this game, Davey, and it's not been a happy hunting ground for Meath in recent years. But the shackles are off with this panel of players at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And look, despite the defeat last week against Carlow, I actually think they'll take plenty of positives from that. And in particular, the first round win over Kildare. So they'll travel down with a degree of confidence and probably in better fettle than what Kerry are in actually at the moment, Mickey. They're coming off back-to-back defeats. And the winner of this game, there's actually semi-finals in the league this year. So if Meath were to get a win, they would actually put themselves in a really strong position with a couple of decent home games to come also. So I'm not getting too ahead of myself, but I think if they could win, that would be a hell of a result, and it would put them right in the mix for a semi-final spot, for what it's worth. And the other good thing about it is it's not in Tralee, it's in Killarney. Tralee has been the graveyard for Meath. I don't think the Hurlers have really played too much, if at all, in Killarney in Fitzgerald Stadium. So maybe that will be a plus point too. But it's a formidable test nonetheless. But it's one that I think Meath are in better shape now for than they would have been in recent years going down there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And have we heard, have the transfers gone through for the lads that have joined the panel?
No, they didn't play in Carlow anyway, and that was obviously last week. So I actually haven't heard anything more on that. And I don't know what exactly the holdup is with that either. But you'd like to see those guys getting a bit of game time sooner rather than later. Like, you wouldn't want them to go into a Joe McDonagh campaign without having played any sort of league action. So hopefully, I haven't heard, but hopefully that can be sorted sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it'd be great to see them getting a bit of game time and trying to, blood themselves in and get used to playing with the players around them. Because while we're delighted that we have this massive panel of players that are high-quality hurlers in need, it'd be great to see them getting a chance to maybe blood those fellas in and see what they're made of.
Yeah, well, and this is the perfect time to do it, isn't it? You know, and I think it's important that they do gel with the other fellas as well. And I'm sure they're in and training with them and that, but there's nothing like playing in game scenarios with them also. So, yeah, hopefully they get exposed to some action in the next few weeks and we can see if they're any good or not, these lads from Limerick and Kilkenny.
Yeah, see if these lads are any good at hurling is right. And Davey, you mentioned it already. You know, they get a victory over Kerry, and then they have Down and Laois to play. And a victory in either one of those games would nearly suffice and get them into a semi-final of the league at that stage.
Yeah, I think they've got Laois at home. And do they have Down up in Ballycran? I think I'm right in saying. But yeah, listen, they're all tough games nonetheless. But I think, first and foremost, be competitive in them. And if you can pick up a win or two, great, you know, and that will stand them in good stead. But I think next week will probably tell a lot about where Meath are at and also where Kerry are at too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck to the lads as they make the trip down to Fitzgerald Stadium to play Kerry in the National Hurling League.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control Auto Mower from your phone. Auto Mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised Auto Mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, the Club Cup competitions got underway last week. The ball was thrown in on Thursday night for many a team, and the club season is back fully underway now, and there's a load of fixtures coming up this week. But great to have the Club Cup competitions back up and running. The Fesh Cup, the Cornabonia, Tolchin Cup and the Tolchin Shield all underway, and that signals only one thing: summer is only around the corner.
It does, yeah. It was great to get back out. Not ideal conditions, and I know a few games succumbed to the weather and that over the weekend, but there were a number of games played. There could be a bit of a backlog, and obviously round two is taking effect from, I think, Thursday night coming also. So teams will be pretty busy. It's gas. It's either feast or famine. Teams haven't played much up to this point, and they're probably going to be playing a game nearly every other week from now on. So it's going to be fairly full on. But yeah, conditions probably dictated, and even in some of the scores, there weren't too many games, with the exception of, I think, Sandstown and Screen, which probably stands out. Most of them were pretty low scoring, but competitive nonetheless, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to do a full Club Cup roundup podcast over our Patreon service for all the games that did go ahead. We're just waiting to get confirmation of every single game that was played, and we will be doing that Club Cup roundup podcast on Patreon.com/WeAreMeath. And I suppose, Davey, it's only when we're talking about the club players and we're talking about the different people around the county involved in cup competitions and leagues, there's one big league that we are all involved in, and that is the GAA Predictions Mead, We Are Meath League. And I think you've got the results from this weekend.
I do indeed, Mickey. Yeah, I do indeed. And I suppose before we go any further, we have to congratulate a good friend of the podcast, Olivia Cusson, who's the overall winner from round three. Olivia from Menalty edged out Ross McGrath and Connor McGinty, 43 points apiece for the lads. Olivia finished with 44. Wow. Of course, the Mead win against Loud being decisive. And not everybody went for Mead wins, of course, against Loud. So congratulations to Olivia for nailing that one, and all the rest of them too. She must have had too many wrong with a score like that. But the main topic of conversation here is the We Are Mead League, which is a subplot to GAA Predictions. And sitting pretty on the top is Mr. Paul Green, the Manalvi PRO. Paul has scored 37 points for the last two rounds of action to hit the 100-point mark after just three rounds of action, and takes centre stage top of the tree. But there's no room for error, because breathing down his neck in second is Ross McGrath, who was second overall in round three. He's on 99. 98 points for Jarlett Brennan and Fergal Lynch, who's moving really well at this stage of the year. 28, 38 and 31 points sees him at 98 at this moment in time. Brendan Byrne and Kevin Coyne from Ballinabrachy are sharing 97 points apiece, which is very interesting. Two of our good friends of the podcast from Ballinabrachy, but moving really well also. And I have to say, two other lads that are moving well are two lads from Cortown, Thomas Barker and Davey Rispin, 95 points apiece after three rounds of action. So I'm just 5 points adrift, Mickey, at this stage. So I'm pretty pleased with that up to this point.
You're going to do an Arsenal on it, don't worry.
I hope you're going to do a Man City for your sake. Barry McDonald and Jelly, James O'Dwyer, who's also had a really good third week, up to 94 points. So Jelly backing up his claims that he was going to go well, and he is going well, coming up to the halfway point at this stage. 93 points apiece for Ronan Casty and Hugh Durrigan, the former St. Vincent's man. Kira Donoghue and Shane Mulvaney are on 92. Kevin Galligan, Conor Moreau and Richie Quigley all of 91. Richie Quigley did actually text me to say he thought he went well, and he did go well. He had 37 points for his round three, just to still a bit off the prize money though. 90 points then for Seamus Patrick Gallagher, who was the round two winner. And Mickey Brennan, you're not doing too bad. 89 points 30 for the round. It could have been a bit better. You were a little bit off for a couple of games, but 30 points is your second highest score up to date, and you've been really consistent. Actually, you're averaging 29 points a round. You've got 31, 28, and 30 across the 3 weeks, so that averages at 29. So you're going better than you normally are at this stage. So fair play. You're also joined on 89 by Shane Riley and Stephen Shepherd, who I think was in the prize money in round one, if I'm not mistaken. George Plunkett is just below you on 88. So George is doing quite well also. Then on 87, you've got Colin Gleeson, John Lynch and Brian Smith. 86 for Con Cleary, James Costlow, Brian Flynn, Ben Hoy and Mark McCoy. 85 is shared by Henry Clifford, Colm Finlay, Jared Goff, Robbie Keane, the ham from the I Bloody Love Fantasy podcast, and Thomas McLeod and Darren Trainor are also on 85. Sorry, Robbie Keane just distracted me. I got annoyed when I seen his name there. 83 then for Hugh Gamble, Fergus Grimes and Dunica Lynch. Colin Brennan and Olivia Cusson, along with Owen Griffin and Sean Hughes and Glenn McDonald, are on 82. So Olivia Cusson was well off it. She only got 11 in round one, 27 in round two, but the 44 points have propelled her right up to the early 80s with that one. 81 then for Mossy Burke, Andrew Daly, Susan Farrell and Zach Griffin. Harry Corbley is 80. Shane Mangan and Aideen Smith and Leo Weldon have 79. It's 78 points apiece for Damien Farley, Nicholas Finlay, David Gordon, James Lynch, Paul McCarthy, Shane McNiff and Colin O'Brien. My word, Colin O'Brien really struggling down there. 78 points for the Navan O'Mahony's man. Tommy Owens on 77, Ulton Blake, Paddy Stapleton and Shane Trainor on 76. My word, PS Tapes has work to do. He's behind you, he's behind me, he's behind Robbie Keane. That's not good for PS Tapes. Nope. Spending too much on this time on the soccer, is he, do you reckon?
Not enough either. Have you seen his fantasy football team?
I can't really talk about fantasy football there myself.
Exactly.
Anyway, Gary Alder's on 75, as is Donald McLeod, John McGurty, and Owen Reid, along with Brendan White. At 74 for Stephen Brennan, Owen Dugan, Barry Hand, Colm Mhuiluidh, and Tom O'Connor, all the way from Australia. 73 for Stephen Connolly, David Lynch, Joseph McWeeny, and Katie Alwell. It's 72 points apiece for Robert Purfield, Sean Murray, and John Timoney. 71 then for Terry Bruton and Hugh Staunton. 70 for Declan Dixon, Nicky Gogan and Mags Joyce. 69 for Alan Tormey and Stephen Foley. Conor McAleese and Ryan O'Rourke of 68. 67 for Paul Finnegan, Annette Lynch and Conor O'Loughlin. 66 for Davy Byrne, Cora Carlin, Andrew Jackson, Declan Masterson. 65 for Barry Canning, Garrett Lynch, Alan McCormack, Sean Ryan. It's 64 for Gabriel McDonnell, 63 for Ivor O'Halloran. He's nearly 63 years of age, actually, Ivor O'Halloran, but he's got 63 points. Still going strong, in fairness to me, somebody. 60 then for Una McCullough, 58 for Owen Finnegan, 57 for Mark Kelly, 55 for Marcus Morrison and Kieran Shankey, 52 for Brian Coleman, 51 for Ronan McNamara, 49 for Gary McGovern, 47 for Freddie Coyne and Dennis Ryan, 46 for Patricia Plunkett, 44 for Dara Toohey, 40 for Gary Coyne, 31 for Carl McCormick, 28 for Cathal Taf, 21 for Shawnee Dalton, and 13 for Josh Wall. Incidentally, the three of the last four in the league table have missed two of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'd say what happened was they gave up. They looked and went, I'm not doing any good at this. I'll just step away.
Exactly. We don't mind. We've got the money in, but lads, once you pay your 20 quid, once you pay your 20 quid, lads, you're in for the 7 weeks. Make the most of it. And you never know, like, look at Olivia Cusson there. She was terrible in week one and she's ended up winning week three. So it just goes to show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, it's keeping our interest in it as well. And looking forward to round four of the National Football League and hopefully getting an extra 5 points to pass out Davy Rispin. That's all I need to do, is just pass out Davy Rispin and I will be very, very happy. As I said, I'm not in it for the prize money. I'm in it for the accolade of beating Davy Rispin in the GAA Predictions League.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
So Davey, after all that excitement, it's time to move on to our lotto segment.
So Mick, so first up on the lottos is generally the case. It's my own one in Corto and GFC, and we had an €18,000 jackpot on Friday night, the 16th of February. It wasn't won. The numbers drawn were 16, 20, 30 and 31. Five €20 winners were Mary Rispin, Martin Dolan, Emer, Shireen Flanagan and Quiva and Amy Dardis. We had a €500 Blue Book voucher, which went to Josh Keaton. That's a lovely prize as well for Josh. But it all means that we move on to Friday night with €18,100. And we've also got a pair of Bruce Springsteen tickets for Croke Park in May to the value of about £300. So they'll be going to one lucky player who's playing our lotto. So go to cortonga.com/lotto to play for either €18,100 or the Bruce tickets. Next up is Castletown. And their results from the 14th of February, they had a €7,400 jackpot. It wasn't won. The lucky dip winners, each receiving €30, were Martina McHugh, Jerry Sheeran, Ollie Curtis, Jack Farley, and Anne Ginnity. And their blotto is sponsored by Grey Civil Contracts Limited. Now for the Matleys, their jackpot from last week wasn't won. Their numbers were 117, 20 and 27. Match three winners were Christy Rafferty, Mona McHugh, Sarah Crahan and Brendan O'Malley. The next draw takes place on the 20th of February and it's still worth €15,000. Drumbarra from last week, €5,200 jackpot not won. 30 euro winners were Amanda Kavanagh, Eamon McGee, Noli Carey, Christy Martin and Jerry Smith. Their numbers were 1, 5, 21 and 26. Manalvi from Monday night, the 12th of February, they had 10, 13, 14 and 20 as numbers. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Mick Keneally, Damien Mooney and Denise Ash. The next draw takes place on Monday. It's worth €6,800. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or you can play it on the Clubforce app. The next one that I have on my list, Mickey, is from Dunamer Ashburn. And their results from last week, they had a €9,300 jackpot on the 11th of February. No winner of that. Match three winners were Maria Gallagher, Jackie O'Brien and Siobhan Nigul. The numbers drawn were 2, 15, 18 and 25. They move on with a €9,500 jackpot tonight, which is the 18th of February. Menalty is the last one on my list for this week, Mickey, from the 11th of February, and they had a €2,600 jackpot. Their numbers drawn were 15, 16, 23, and 27. No jackpot winner, no match three winners either, which means that there were five random draw winners who get €20 each. They were Paula McMahon, David Daly, Patrick Kearns, Kevin Donlan, and Seamus McEntee. The special online prize, a €50, went to John Farrell from Menalty, and next week's draw takes place tonight, Sunday, the 18th of February. It's worth €2,800.
Brilliant stuff. Davy Centerton's lotto last week on the 12th of February. The lotto was not won. The numbers drawn were 8, 13, 18 and 24. The five 25 euro winners were Shane Finnegan, Sive Monaghan, Rita Clark, the Collins family and Anthony Mooney. This week's lotto will be 1,300 euro. Kilmaine and Woods lotto last week. The numbers drawn were 1, 6, 19 and 24. And they had a winner. It was Pater McCabe. Who matched all four numbers and picked up their jackpot. So their jackpot now reverts back to 2,000 euro, and that will be taking place this week. And then finally, Simonson's lotto last week was 4,950. There was no winner. The numbers drawn were 9, 13, 19 and 27. There was only one match three winner, and that was Peggy O'Leary. This week's lotto is 5,000 euro, and it takes place on Friday night. Jelly also then said to me, do you want a roundup of League of Ireland or do you want me to wait until I go on Instagram? So I prefer to not have two conversations about it. So we'll just wait until Instagram Interactive, Davey, which were just as lovely link into it. So fire ahead. Have the people been in contact with you on our Instagram?
They have, yeah. And do you know what, Mickey? It's lovely to have a nice Instagram Interactive, you know, for all the doom and gloom that we have on some weeks. It's just nice to have a nice one this week for a change. What's rare is wonderful, as they say. And Darren Toohey kicks it off perfectly by saying that loud are in the attic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are going to savour this one. You know, they've had our number for quite some time now. And yeah, we're going to enjoy this one.
Next comes in from Jack Stillman, and he said a big 2 points.
Yeah, massive. It is a massive 2 points. And I know, like I've been playing it down for the last couple of weeks and saying that this game wasn't going to define our season because we were going to have to play play Kildare and Cork, who are going to be rooted to the bottom of the table. But it's, as we said at the start of this podcast, or maybe we mentioned it on a different podcast, on our Loyal Lions podcast, that win is so much more to this team than the actual the fact that it wouldn't have put them into a relegation battle, but it could be the turning point for their season, really.
Yeah. Alex O'Neill said Matthew Costello's goal.
Absolutely phenomenal. Just a piece of brilliance, Davey.
Yeah, it was. It was just a brilliant piece of individual play. I loved it, and great for him. I was delighted for him. He's such a good lad. Such a good lad.
He's a great guy. He really is.
Next up is Oran Murray. He said the debutants for St. Ultons this morning. I didn't see them. I assume he was one of them. Good young player, in fairness to him. They were due to play Dunry on Saturday. I don't think that game went ahead, so possibly it maybe went ahead on Sunday morning. I'm not sure. And if it didn't, maybe they played a challenge. But there must have been debuts in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, there must have been some sort. Or was it a challenge match they had on Sunday morning?
Couldn't tell you. I wasn't at it anyway. I can tell you that for nothing. Ben McDonough said Brian O'Halloran with the flashy orange boots and the gloves to match. Yeah, he was... His colour coordination was in point, the Beliver man.
Brilliant stuff.
It's like classic, like almost like a young fella turning up for school for his first day, you know, dressed from head to toe, prim and proper, the gear all shining, just making his bow as a Meath player. Great to see. Hopefully he sticks with that, because that's the most important thing. That level of consistency is vitally important now for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shane Riley said, Jack O'Connor outstanding, Danny Dixon, some lump of a man, one for the future.
Yeah, like from listening to it on the radio, Danny Dixon got stuck in now. We've spoken about Danny Dixon before, and he can go across the line sometimes, but he held it together, and he was just a massive physical presence, it sounded, when he came onto the field.
Sandra Crosby Moore said, what's the story with the oil on the legs for the Meath players? I have to be honest, I didn't notice this. I wasn't really looking for it. I'm sure Sandra probably was, but I certainly wasn't. It sounds a bit like the Adama Traore sort of stuff, doesn't it? Do you remember when they used to oil him up, the Wolves player? Yeah.
Yeah, but I suppose a lot of players get a massage before games these days. So maybe it was that. Maybe they were getting muscle massages and they were glistening then from the oil, the massage oil.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for that now next week. There could be something in that, you know, like the way the tackling is and all the grabbing and stuff that goes on. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe me, they're onto something. Yeah. Shane Mangan said, win next Sunday and we are safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Win next Sunday and we are safe. And then who knows? Because the pressure is off.
Yeah. Joey Mooney said, the queues getting into the ground 5 or 10 minutes before throwing. Yeah, I noticed there was a huge crowd in Navan. There was about six, probably close to 7,000 people there. Biggest crowd I've seen in Navan for quite some time. And they were still streaming in about 5 minutes into the game. Maybe there were a few people that hung back in Ryan's for that last pint and probably left themselves a bit under pressure coming up Bruce Hill.
Well, I'd say a lot of them.
Maybe I'm doing them a disservice, though. Maybe the queues were just really bad.
I'd say it could have had a lot to do with parking and stuff. When we were driving, like we literally hit Navan just after the game finished, like a couple of minutes after the game finished, and to try and get through Navan to my house, I'd say it was just bedlam trying to get parking and get up to the grounds.
Joey Mooney also said Sean Coffey's goal line clearance was a turning point. Yeah, that was in the 57th minute and it was an unbelievable block on literally on the goal line. Terrific from him.
Yeah, they did single that one out on the radio all right as a massive turning point. And in fairness, I think we made a couple of goal line clearances throughout that game, which is brilliant to see defensively.
Yeah, he also said shaky defending at the end nearly cost us. Nervous defending, wasn't it?
That goal with the substitute, there was two Meade players surrounding him, and he did get through the tackle. And then there was a player coming out to him who didn't really commit to the tackle, and he managed to get his shot off. And it was a fine bit of individual play to bang it into the top corner, but it was squeaky bum for a few minutes at the end. All right.
Yeah, the final point from him, he wants to know, is there any word on club transfers or is it as secretive as ever? No, we got sent a document there a couple of weeks ago about all the signed club transfers as of the 1st of February. And I do think they're accessible to everybody. So if he goes looking, I can't exactly tell him where to go. But if he goes looking for them, he should be able to find them because everybody, I think, should be able to see who's going where and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, absolutely.
They are there somewhere. Brian Flynn said, what about the shoulders given? Great to see a bit of steel in the lads. Yeah, I've been calling about this for a long time now, Mickey, and it was just, I thought it lifted everybody. It really, really did. And like the fact that Brian is still talking about it now and I'm still talking about it, I think that tells you the effect that it did have.
Yeah, like we've been talking about that. You've been bringing it up for the last number of weeks that we wanted to see a bit of physicality and a bit of intensity in the tackles and stuff like that. And not nastiness, but not shying away from fellas and walking away when they get stuck into you. And the Meade players seem to really get stuck in against Loud. And that's probably the little bit of bite that we're going to need to see from them.
PS Tapes is in and he said, how many different versions of the Neighbours team tune is there? Go on,
Mickey. I think he's referring to our match day diary for the Loud game. I may have used the Neighbours team tune, that old Australian soap program, and I used the Neighbours theme tune, and there's plenty of different versions of it, would you believe? So I had to get them all in.
Well, I actually, when I put up the match day diary on Instagram, Mickey, you can put a bit of a music, so I picked, but there was a ton of them, so I just picked the first one I seen, so obviously it's different to what's playing on your one. He also said, who's the bright spark that put the Cork game at the same time as the parade on Paddy's Day? Would it not be the other way around that they put the parade at the same time as the game? No,
No, I wouldn't think so. No, I'd have to say that the game was put at the same time as the parade, like, because,
Okay.
you know, the parade is always going to take place around lunchtime, between lunchtime and 3 o'clock on Paddy's Day. So,
Does anybody actually go to the parade anymore?
oh, they do. Yeah, they do. Kids love all that kind of crack. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. Thomas McLeod said, huge crowd, but we were outnumbered by Louth. It felt it on the terrace.
Oh, really?
Was a
That's
big Louth crowd
disappointing.
there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, they're on a high at the moment. They'd gone 12 years without being beaten in Park Tolchin. They were hoping for a bit more of the same to stick it to us and whatever. But they fairly started streaming out out of Park Tolchin when Matty Costello banged one into the net with only a couple of minutes to go.
The venom in your voice when you said that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one thing I would say about that is I'm not sure they outnumbered us, but they probably were more vocal than us in the first half and for much of the second as well. It was probably only when we got on top that you actually started to hear the Meath supporters. So there was probably an element of that too, you know. Declan Masterson said Danny Dixon looked lively. He certainly did.
Yeah, and from what I heard on the radio, he got plenty of mentions, which is always a good sign.
Owen Griffin wants to know what's lucky to be working's record amount of cans drank in one weekend. Yeah, some
We'll have to
madness
get him
goes
to
on.
answer that. Yeah, we'll have to get him to answer that.
Donal O'Leary said some saves from that Brennan bloke. Yeah,
I wasn't in goals.
unbelievable.
Yeah, Sean Brennan, what a game he had. Probably close up there for man of the match as well.
Yeah, he probably would have been. Yeah, he like his saves are really decisive. Delighted for him. You know, he's been such a consistent performer now for a while, and those are some big saves. He actually had three. I think he saved one with his feet then later on as well. So he had two with the hands and one with the feet. So credit to him. Great performance.
Yeah.
I think that's it, Mickey. That is it from Instagram Interactive. I think we've rattled through them all. Yeah.
Is that it? Okay. Well,
That's it.
look, we have plenty more podcasts coming out this week, so we better get moving and get across and start recording a few more of them for our listeners. So we're going to leave it at that. Look, that's it for this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, we are Meath, boy. It matters more. Let's enjoy that victory over Louth.